We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone here. We thank you for the storm that missed us. We do pray for those in L.A. and San Diego, Lord, that really got hammered, that you would be with them and help them to dig out. A lot of them have mudslides and everything else, Lord, trees fallen. And so, Lord, protect them as they clean up and help it to go smoothly for them. I also pray tonight with the rain coming in that we wouldn't get flooding. And we just know that you're the real weather man. You control the weather. And so, Lord, I pray that it would be a light rain because we need it. And so tonight, with open Bibles and open hearts, I pray that you would speak to us, give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight tonight through your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 25 is a continuation of what is known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is sitting with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. As I mentioned last week, and in the times I've been to Israel, one of my favorite spots is the Mount of Olives. It's just very moving. It's so quiet. And it's right across from the Eastern Gate. When Jesus comes down and touches his foot on the Mount of Olives, he's going to go through that Eastern Gate. And so it's a really, really incredible spot. And that's where Jesus is sitting, continuing tonight in chapter 5 in the Olivet Discourse. Last week in chapter 24, he encouraged them, and of course us as well, to be ready for his return. And he laid out a lot of the signs that would be taken, that would take place just before his return. And lo and behold, I'm amazed when I look at the Jerusalem Post and when I look at parts of our news. We got fake news, we got the phony stuff, a bunch of lies on our news. But if you look at really what's going on in the world and in Israel, folks, we're close to the return of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, as I've mentioned many times, Bibi Netanyahu is getting ready to rebuild the Third Temple. And on your trips, if you've ever been to Israel, there's the temple, what's it called? The Temple Institute, thank you, where all of the artifacts, they have them already made for the next temple. The menorah, the showbread tables, the robes for the priests, they got everything ready, and all they need is to rebuild the temple. And Jesus last week told us what would be going on just before his return, and we're batting 1,000. And so tonight, this evening, here in chapter 25, Jesus now speaks to them in parables. Parabole is the term, and it's a word picture. Oftentimes we even say to people, what do I got to do, draw you a picture? And sometimes Jesus has to draw us a picture, and he's going to draw us a picture tonight. Speaking in parables, he's going to further the clarity on what it means to be ready for the return of the Lord and how we should be living. And so the first parable that we see here has to do with a wedding. And this, of course, refers to the coming wedding supper of the Lamb after the rapture. The church that's here on earth is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and it's going to be a glorious time of celebration. So let's see what the first 13 verses have for us here tonight. Chapter 25 begins with, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Wow. So here we see, this parable has to do with 10 bridesmaids. And it teaches that we are responsible for our own spiritual condition. The oil, of course, speaks of the person of the Holy Spirit. We're responsible for being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us very clearly in Ephesians, when we are saved, the person, and I did say person, the third person of the Trinity, the person of the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And we are Spirit-filled, and he seals us for the day of redemption. And so we are responsible for the filling of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Our sin can grieve the Holy Spirit. Our sin can, as believers, can quench the person of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why John writes to us in 1 John 10:9 that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can confess our sin right on the spot, ask God to cleanse us, wash us, purify our minds and hearts, whatever it is, have him just replenish the person of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our lives. Ask for a fresh filling, overflowing with the living water. And I'm constantly doing that in my own personal life because I know my sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And I don't ever want anything. Even before I pray, I ask God to cleanse me, wash me, purge me, purify my heart, mind, and soul before him so that my prayers are not hindered. I don't ever, ever want one of my prayers to be hindered. And I'm sure you feel the same way. And I have never seen over the past few years in the church and in my own personal life, God answers so many prayers as he has been answering lately. It's absolutely incredible, the prayers that God is answering. And so we're responsible for our own spiritual condition. You can't blame anybody for the condition of the Holy Spirit within your heart. Can't blame the pastor. Can't blame your spouse. Can't blame your kids. It's up to you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. As I mentioned, the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. We're responsible for being filled. The Holy Spirit cannot be borrowed, as we see here. The Holy Spirit cannot be bought, purchased, in order to enter into the wedding supper of the Lamb. How sad it is that there are many today that misportray the person of the Holy Spirit. A lot of these folks on the radio and television, if you send in your love offering, you know, plant seed, brother. I need gas in my jet, you know. No. You can't purchase, you can't borrow the person of the Holy Spirit. Freely, God gives the person of the Holy Spirit to us when we keep our lives clean. Just ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't be borrowed, purchased. Our spiritual relationship with the Lord is our own. It's personal. And here we see out of the 10 virgins that we're reading about tonight, 5 were filled with the Holy Spirit and 5 weren't. Now, this doesn't mean that half the world is born again and half the world is not. I wish that were the case. There's a very small percentage of born-again Christians in the world today. How sad. And that includes a lot of the churches. We spent 12 years in Vermont with the Frozen Chosen. And I saw an article the other day that the least church state in the United States of America is Vermont. And when we went there, it was like going into a brand new fresh harvest field. Just preach the word and get out of the way. And man, people are going, wow. And their lives were changing. They were getting saved. I could tell you some stories. I don't have time tonight, but man, of people that were going to these little white churches with the little steeple and the church bell for years and years and years, and they never heard the Bible taught. How sad. And in the West River Valley, not the Coachella Valley, in the West River Valley, I actually got invited to speak in every church in the area once. They never invited me back. Two reasons. I opened the Bible. They didn't have Bibles. Second reason, I gave an altar call, if you can imagine that. Oh my gosh. And there were people that would stand up and receive the Lord 60, 70, 80, 90 years old that never heard that they could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see here how important it is for the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There were five wise virgins, five foolish ones. How sad. And now they try to borrow, hey, give me some of your oil, or purchase. Our spiritual relationship with the Lord is our own, it's personal, and it's up to you what the level is of the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. And oftentimes my prayer is, Lord, fill me overflowing with the living water. Let me splash all over everybody, everywhere I go. Right now, the door is open. Right now, in heaven, the door is open. But one day, as we see here, it's going to be shut. And no one will be able to enter in. No one. Good example was in the days of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness as he built the ark. What was it, 40 years it took him to build the ark? Preacher of righteousness. They mocked, they laughed at him. But when the time came, when it began to rain, Noah and his family got into the ark. There was only one door, one way in, and the Lord shut the door. And that's a foreshadow of things to come. Jesus said, I am the door. Meaning that Jesus is the only way that anyone can enter into heaven. And the ark was a picture of that. One door, one way in, and the Lord shut the door. And the amazing thing, and even in the days of Noah, the Lord was with them in the ark. Amazing. So I think it's so important. If you don't know the Lord, repent of your sins and invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. And he will by no means cast you out. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that means when the time comes, you'll go right through that door and it'll be shut behind you one day. I think it's so important to know that you're spirit-filled. Jesus said you must be born again. And being born again, you go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive by the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we see here in the first 13 verses, 10 virgins went to meet the bridegroom, verse 1. Five were wise, five were foolish. The foolish took their lamps with no oil. Can you imagine that? No oil in their lamps. And the wise, their lamps were full. And there was a cry that went out in verse 6 at midnight. Amazing. Nobody knows the day or the hour. We read that last week. When the Lord's going to return. But we're to be ready, watching, waiting, witnessing, working, being about our Father's business. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next parable. But I think it's so important to be ready because there's going to be a cry that goes out. The Bible says very clearly that the trump of God is going to sound, and we're going to be right there in the wedding supper of the Lamb. So the foolish, hey, give us some oil. And they tried to borrow, they tried to buy it, but it doesn't work. Why? Because you cannot purchase your way into heaven. Even though there's false prophets out there and denominations that don't even know the Lord that will tell you, oh, just give your money. Oh, yeah. No, salvation is a free gift of God. It's been paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why you need him and him alone as your personal Lord and Savior to save you so that you can enter in one day. Amazing, isn't it? The gospel has been preached now for over 2,000 years, and the church has been aware of Jesus' coming again and the wedding supper of the Lamb, yet many people in the world have become lethargic. Oh, I've heard that before. We've been hearing that for years. Have you ever had anybody say that? You know what? I tell them when they tell me that, oh, I've heard that for you. You've been saying that for years, you Christians. I think, wow, you just quoted a scripture. Right out of 2 Peter 3:4. Peter said that there would be people saying, you guys have been saying that for years. Many, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, have turned their ears away from the truth. And we've all run into people who say, I don't want to hear that. Stop. How sad. You know how we get saved? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so we just plant seed. Someone comes along and waters that seed through the word of God. God's word is like seed. And then when it takes root, and when we seek the Lord and open our hearts and allow the living water to fill us, we bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. But many today have turned their ears away from the truth. They're spiritually deaf. Do you know that you can have 20/20 vision and be spiritually blind? And you can have perfect hearing physically and be spiritually deaf. I call it spiritual earwax. Need to get that wax removed. How does that happen? Repent. Get on your face. Ask God to save you and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And the spiritual earwax is gone. Then all of a sudden, wow, you read this book. And all of a sudden you can see. All of a sudden you can hear. All of a sudden when you go to a Bible teaching church, you walk in and go, wow, you know? When we first got saved, every time the doors were open in that church, we were there. We wanted to hear the Bible taught. And we heard everything. It restored our marriage. It restored our family. It set me free from alcohol, drugs, the whole thing. The Word of God did it. There wasn't religion. Religion does nothing. Religion is man-made. Jesus didn't come and die a brutal death on that cross for religion. He came and died a brutal death on that cross so that he could have a personal relationship with you and I. That's what he wants. Also, Scripture says, there's some that have a form of godliness, but denying the truth. No oil. And the five virgins without the oil had a form of godliness. Boy, they're walking around with the little lamps, looking good. No oil. That's why I think it's important to check your oil. And so the lesson here is not everyone who professes to be a Christian will enter in. And Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Must. Jesus said it, red letters. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've all been born in the flesh. But when you repent of your sins and invite the Holy Spirit in, then you become spiritually alive and you're born again of the Spirit. That's what born again means, being born again of the Holy Spirit. And there's no true salvation without oil in your lamp, without being born again. Many in that day, Matthew 7:21 told us, will say, Lord, Lord. I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I did all these things. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you who serve iniquity. I never knew you. And that's what happened here with these five virgins. They come knocking on the door. Let us in. He says, I never knew you. Wow. How sad. But when you give your life to Christ, when you're born again, all of a sudden he knows your name. He knows everything about you. Your name is written on the palm of his hands. Your name is written upon his heart, the Bible says. And you have a personal relationship with him. And so the admonition here with the 10 virgin is, number one, be awake. Wake up. Don't become lethargic. Don't fall asleep. Keep your life filled with the Holy Spirit. Stay awake. Be alert. And keep your lamps full. There's no reason not to have a full lamp. It's up to you. Just ask. clean up your mind, your heart, your life, whatever it is, anything that's hindering, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit overflowing. Our next parable, as we see in the superscription, it says the parable of the talents. This parable revolves around a man who went to a far country. Again, it's a parable, it's a word picture. It's a picture of the Lord. And he left talents to his servants. This, of course, is a picture of Jesus going away to heaven and leaving talents to his servants. And then when he returns, he will then return and reward them according to what they did with their talents. Now, this isn't a talent show. Talent speaks of money. It's a picture of money. I think one talent is what, a week's wages or something? I forget. But it's a lot. And he's going to return and reward them according to what they did with the talents that he gave them. Notice verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Wow. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Does that sound familiar? You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now look, what do you notice right off the bat here? The same blessing was given to the guy with 5 talents as to the one who had only 2 talents. And it's not necessarily how many talents you have, but the bottom line is what we do with the talents that we have. It's like the body of Christ. Some people have a number of spiritual gifts and some maybe have 1. We don't count the gifts that people have, but the all-important thing is that we use the gifts that we have. And that's what happened here. But look at verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Look what the Lord's response is here. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own interest, my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa. And again, it's not about the number of talents that people have. It's about what we do with them. Here we see the master divided the talents among his servants, okay? Jesus himself said that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant of all. That's one title we should all have as Christians, servants in the body of Christ. I posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. I forget all the titles that were listed, and they were all crossed out. Pastor, reverend, all this stuff, all crossed out. And the bottom line one, the one that stayed, was servant. That's the greatest title that any of us can acquire, is to be a servant of God. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And when we serve, we are laying down our lives for people. Not just in the church, but when we can serve the lost. We can serve our enemies. And the all-important thing is if we have the heart of Christ, we're going to have the heart to bless and to serve people. And here we see the master divided the talents. And you know what? With the Lord, every talent is important. I repeat, every talent is important. For some people, they think, well, the visible talents, oh, they're the best talents. No. What we do behind the scenes is equally important. The things that other people don't see. You don't see any plaques on the wall around here with people's names on them. Why? Because we want your reward to be for you in heaven from the Lord. And God keeps pretty good books, would you say? He knows. And one day, as the unbelievers are at the great white throne judgment, we are going to be at the Bema seat, and we will be rewarded for the things we have done as servants of God. And it's not about five talents, it's not about two talents. Even if you have only one talent, use that talent, and you can store up treasure in heaven. It's amazing. God keeps really, really good records. And you know what? There's one talent that we can all have. Every single born-again Christian can pray. How's your prayer life? And again, you don't have to pray publicly before people and stand up and pray in Old King James, thou. You know, go to your closet and pray. Shut the door where nobody's around and talk to your Heavenly Father one-on-one. I think it's so important, especially when you're troubled. I heard a pastor years ago say, he who talks to man about his problems talks little of his problems to God. Our best conversation about the things that we're dealing with in our life is between our Heavenly Father and us, whose ear is attentive to every prayer that you and I pray. And so we see here that they all had talents, 5, 2, and 1. Every one of them was given talents according to what they could handle. And some people in the body can only handle maybe one talent. Some 2, some 5, some even more so. You know, this doesn't mean the limit is 5 or 2 or 1. But what the point is through this old section of scripture here is, what are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with what God has imparted to you as a servant in the body of Christ? And I must compliment this fellowship here. We are blessed to have a fellowship full of believers that use their talents. We don't sound the trumpet. We don't have them come up front and give them a plaque. No. We give thanks for every single one of you in the body of Christ and the gifts and the talents you have and the way that you use them. One example, just prayer. 3 weeks ago this Friday, my granddaughter had very extensive surgery on her knee. And our prayer was, Lord, may the surgery go perfect. Yeah, you can pray that way to God. And guess what? My daughter's standing in the operating room, and the doctor came out after the surgery, and he said to her, "The surgery went perfect." I wasn't surprised. We gave it to God, you know. And don't be afraid to pray and ask God to do something perfect. Why? Because we are imperfect when we get saved, but God is doing a work. He's begun the good work, and he's going to be faithful to complete that work unto the day that we go to heaven, and we're going to be perfect one day. But along the way, we have to get rid of our imperfections, and we need to use our gifts and talents before the Lord as servants. And so here we see they had talents according to what they could handle. None of them, if they failed, could claim that they were given more than they could handle. And that's the important thing. Don't look around at what everybody else is doing, but take the gifts and talents that you have and use them for the glory of God. It's God, omniscient God. Omniscient means he knows everything, who gives us gifts and talents according to our abilities. And I know many of you, myself included, are using gifts and talents that we never ever thought we would use. And God brought us to a place, I never thought I'd be teaching the Word of God. You know, you've heard my testimony. I was full of Rocky Mountain spring water instead of living water. But when the living water came in, then the Rocky Mountain spring water left. And God has allowed me to be a mailman, to deliver the mail to God's servants, just to preach the word. And so God, Almighty God, omniscient God, gives us our gifts and talents. And we are to use them for his glory until his return. Yeah, we should be using the gifts and talents that we have, anticipating the return of the Lord. And the issue here is not how much we have, but how we use what we have. Like it says in verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, one 2 talents, and to another he gave 1, to each according to his own ability. And that's the bottom line. Use the gifts and talents that you have for the glory of God. And you know what? And you do know what? There's no greater blessing than to be able to serve the Lord. We don't serve the Lord to be saved. We serve the Lord in thanksgiving to him for saving us. Is there anything that you wouldn't do for the Lord? I must say, there's absolutely nothing that if he would ask me to do it, that I would not do for him. And I'm sure you feel the same way. The one who was given 5 talents used his talents in verse 16 to make 5 more. He doubled his talents. The servant who received 2 talents in verse 17 gained 2 more. And boy, were they excited. Look what I've gained. 5 more talents. Look what I've gained. 2 more talents. Awesome. These 2 servants were faithful servants, and they put their talents to work for the Lord and for the kingdom of heaven. How about servant number 3? He was unfaithful. The first 2 are faithful servants. The 3rd one is unfaithful. He dug a hole and he hid it in the ground. Look at verse 18. Crazy. He who had received 1 went and dug it and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's talent or his money. How sad. But scripture also says, after a long time, the Lord returned. And just as the Lord will return one day here and settle the accounts of all of us as his servants, he now returned to these guys. Are you anticipating the return of the Lord? That's so important. Keep on working, keep on using your talents, keep on using your gifts, keep on doing what God tells you to do in anticipation of his returning today. And with all that's going on in the world, all that's going on with Israel, like I shared, I think, last week, I've almost got anxiety that I'm so excited about the Lord returning. I mean, man, I could see him today. Be it the rupture or the rapture, But we should be ready in anticipation. Are you excited about the soon return of the Lord? I am. Look at Israel. I mean, folks, what do we got to do? Draw you a picture? A parable? So important to be ready. Look at verse 20 again. He had reserved five talents, or received five talents, came and brought five, saying, Lord, you've delivered me five talents. Look, I've gained five more. Yes. He who had two, same thing. But, verse 24, he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. How sad. We can tell right off the bat this guy didn't know the Lord. Why? He's not an angry man. The Bible very clearly says that it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. His grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. His love, his mercy. Yes, God hates sin, and God will judge sin one day, and God will judge the sinner one day. But in the meantime, the gospel is going out. The Holy Spirit is trying to woo people to the Lord. Here we see two faithful servants, each receiving the same commendation. And that's the wonderful thing. You have two that received commendation, and the third guy received condemnation. I don't think this guy was saved. For there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. We all, as God's servants, have received talents, right? And we will be one day commended and rewarded one day. And that blows me away. He's going to say to you and I, as he wraps his loving arms around us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. How many of us are going to feel worthy of receiving rewards from the one who loved us and gave his life for us and was brutally murdered and nailed to a cross, and we get rewards? John, in Revelation, when he came into the presence of the Lord, fell like a dead man. I think that's where I'm going to be, flat on my face, rug burns on my nose. As we cast our crowns at his feet, we're going to get crowns as well. And Scripture lists the number of crowns that believers are going to receive. And I don't know about you, but I'm unworthy to receive anything, honest. I'm not just being Joe spiritual here, but I feel unworthy to receive anything from the Lord who loved me and gave his life for me. Just salvation is good enough for me. Heaven is good enough for me. Praise the Lord. Having him wrap his loving arms around me is good enough for me. But we're going to be commended instead of condemned one day. We're going to be rewarded one day instead of rebuked. What a glorious day that's going to be. But third servant, the unfaithful one, here we see that the unfaithful servant went unrewarded. Verse 24. He who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. Where did he get that? I can tell you where some people get that. There are certain denominations that will tell you that God is an angry God and he wants to send you to hell. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you enough. God loves the world enough, the sinners enough out there, to send his only begotten Son into this world to die a brutal death so that they could be saved. That blows me away. Can I comprehend that in this puny little brain I have? No. I never cease to be amazed at what Jesus Christ did for me. Do you feel the same way? I do. Look what he did for me. Even this unfaithful servant, but he didn't know God. Oh, he's an angry man. Really? Where'd you get that dude? A hard man. Pretty evident he didn't know the nature and character of the Lord. I knew you were a hard man. I was afraid. You know the best fear we can have? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's a reverence for God and His holiness. And it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. He makes excuses for what God had called him to do. Wow. All that we have, be it your time, your talents, your abilities, are not ours in the first place. They're gifts from God. That last breath you took, that's time that He has given us here on earth. Yeah, every day we should wake up and give thanks for a brand new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it instead of complaining. Oh, my coffee's cold. Is it your coffee or your heart? We need to wake up being fired up. Good morning, Lord. This is the day you've made. Forgive me, cleanse me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, I have the ability to put 2 feet on the floor this morning. But this guy made excuses for what God called him to do. You know what? We're property managers. We're not property owners. We are property managers. God has given gifts and talents. Everything you have is a gift from God. And it's His, not ours. And so this parable describes the consequences of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. Just like we saw the consequences of those that were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with oil, and those that weren't filled with oil. And so here we see the consequences of being faithful in your service to God or being unfaithful and not knowing God. Rewards for the faithful. And again, like I said a moment ago, the greatest reward is that we're saved and been forgiven for all of our sins. And He casts our sins as far as the east is to the west, deepest part of the sea, and He remembers them no more. Praise God. But the punishment for the unfaithful, they're still walking around with their sins on them. Your sins are either one place or the other. They're either on you or on the cross of Jesus Christ. Those who are unfaithful to God and His kingdom cannot expect to be treated the same as faithful servants of God. This is not a message of salvation by works, okay? There are some churches that will tell you, well, if you do this or you do that, you'll be saved. No. We do works because we're saved, not to be saved, and there's a difference there. It's a way to tell God thank you. You know, our words aren't enough, are they? You ever think like that when you think, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's like my words aren't enough. Works kind of seem a better way to give thanks. It's not a message of salvation by works, but a message on works followed, or that follow salvation. Verse 26 to 30. But his Lord answered, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And in my coming, I would have received back my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Look at this. This is heavy duty. And he cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We all know where that is, right? That is hell. That is the lake of fire. You know, there are pastors today in pulpits that won't even say the word hell. How sad. I like to use the word hell because I'm not going there. I like to use the word hell to warn people that they don't have to go there. That God wants to have you in heaven with Him. For the true believer, we're going to love His appearing, aren't we? What a glorious day that's going to be when we see Him face to face. You ever wonder what that's going to be like? Seeing Jesus face to face. He's not like the pictures we see. He's not a rock star. He's the Rock. He's not Mr. Hollywood. He was such an ordinary looking person that when they went to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they had to point him out. He didn't have a halo around him, you know? That's why I have a hard time seeing pictures of him in movies with Jesus. The Bible very clearly says in the second commandment, we're not to make any graven images of him. Nah. So the true believer, we're going to love his appearing one day. And I just can't even imagine. You ever just think about that, what it's going to be like when he wraps his loving arms around you and says, well done, good and faithful servant? I'll probably be going, who, me? He'll probably say, yes, Joe, you. Love his appearing. That's why I said I have this little bit of anxiety. Not because I'm a senior citizen. I'm just more excited about the return of Christ than ever before in my life. Love his appearing. That's what the true believer will do. We'll look for his appearing. And we're going to labor faithfully until he returns. And again, not only does labor keep you occupied and keep you out of trouble, but at the same time, you're storing up treasure in heaven. And that's not the main reason we do it. But God is so gracious and loving and kind. He's not the hard man that we see here. But he's so gracious and loving and kind, we're going to get rewards one day. When we're faithful, we are going to receive a reward from him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Awesome. One day, as we're now going to see, Jesus will come in his glory, and he's going to judge the nations. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes, does it say if? When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Wow. You know the difference between a sheep and a goat? When the Lord tells a sheep to do something, he goes, bah. When he tells a goat to do something, they go, but. Couldn't resist. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. I see something political there. I'll move on from that one. But being on the right is not a political thing, it's a spiritual thing. Being at his right hand. You don't want to be part of the left on this one. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine? He's going to say that to you. The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You see, he's now listing things that we as servants should automatically do if we have Christ's heart. And you've heard me share a number of times, compassion is their pain in your heart. How can we have the heart of Christ and see somebody that's hurting and not do something about it, like feed them? Or give them something to drink. Or give them a place to sleep. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You see, if you're a servant, you're not keeping records. Oh, Lord, I just gave this guy a burrito. Make sure you mark that one down in heaven. I just gave him a drink of water. No. Look, he had no idea. Look what Jesus says. Verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Wow. You see, in being a servant, in ministering to hurting people, we're doing it for the Lord and to the Lord. Keep that in mind. And you don't need a plaque, and you don't need a trophy, and you don't need your name in the bulletin. God keeps good records, and he knows the motive by which we do things. Because a lot of these, quote, religious things that people do are for recognition. And I know exactly how much reward they're going to get in heaven. Zero. But those that do it as unto the Lord, because we love him and he died for us and he laid his life down for us, what a difference, huh? Wow. Then, verse 41, he will say to those on the left, on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Whoa! Goats or sheep. There's only two types of people on the planet. You're either a sheep or a goat. We were all goats at one time. I know, I'm an old goat now, but I'm an old sheep. Now, somebody the other day said, man, I'm an old goat. And I said, no, you're an old sheep. But he takes goats and makes sheep out of them. Amazing. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How sad it is that they will be in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so as we close, we see that God's going to separate the sheep and the goats one day. The goats, great white throne judgment. The Bible says they will be without excuse. You ever done jury duty? What happens when you're on a jury? Guilty, Your Honor, with an explanation. I got news for you. You stand before the great white throne judgment, you won't be able to open your mouth. That's heavy. Without excuse. And God's going to separate the goats to the great white throne judgment, and the believers, the sheep, will be at the bema seat of Christ, the reward, the bema seat. And so God's going to separate the sheep and the goats. Followers from the pretenders. Going to celebrate or separate the believers from the make-believers. And Jesus uses sheep and goats to picture the division between believers and unbelievers. When they're young, when they're little babies, they almost look the same. It's hard to tell sheep and goats till they grow. Ezekiel 34 even speaks of the separation of the sheep and the goats. Old Testament, New Testament, God says, I'm going to separate the sheep and the goats. And again, we're not saved by works, but our works are evidence that we are saved. And again, as we close, number one, Is your lamp full? Fill her up, full of the person of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, what are you doing with the gifts and talents that God has imparted to everyone? Every one of us has at least one talent, and some two, some five, some more than that. What are we doing with the talents that we have? Don't bury them in the ground. Use them. Again, there's no greater blessing, is there, than serving the Lord. There's so much excitement in being used by the Lord and serving Him. And one day, we will see His glorious kingdom. Whatever's done for one of the least, He says, of my brethren, is done to Him. It all depends on our motive. And if our motive is to be recognized by man, wrong motive. But if our motive is to be a servant of the Lord and to bless the Lord and to bless the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those in prison, His disciples, His sheep, have His heart, His compassion, and that's where this all comes in. Goats on the left, sheep on the right. Goats will be left unless they get right. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that we're just reminded as believers how we should be living. And Lord, if the oil is low in our lamps, it's our fault. We just need to repent of our sins. Just confess our sin to You, and You're faithful and just to forgive us and fill us overflowing with the oil of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would use the talents that we have, whatever they may be, that we would use them for Your glory and not for a pat on the back or a plaque or an attaboy, but because of Your great love for us. This is just a small way of us showing our love for You. Also, Lord, may we be sensitive to hurting people around us, those that are hungry, thirsty, naked, strangers. Whatever it may be, You bring people across our path every day. Give us discernment, though, because there are some phonies out there just begging for bread. But Lord, give us Your heart, give us Your discernment, give us Your sensitivity to those that really need to be ministered to. And when we do, even giving a cup of cold water to somebody, may we tell them where it came from. It came from You, Lord. Be it food, water, clothes, whatever. Thank You, Lord, that You allow us to be instruments in Your hands, to be servants. As we close, I always like to give an invitation. If there's anybody here that would like to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you just to slip your hand up this evening that I might pray for you and that you might invite Jesus into your heart, that you go from being a goat to being a sheep. Father, thank You for everyone here tonight. Thank You for those on YouTube. Thank You for the beautiful worship. Thank You, Lord, for the many, 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 many blessings that You bestow upon our life every day. We love You because You first loved us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.